Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such a
group. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
And what's up, everybody? Good evening and welcome to the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out Patricia Wilder. Hello, Miss Wilder. Shout out to Linda Lombroso, who's also partaking of this program. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me on a Thursday. It's September 24th, I think it is, 2020. And you just can't wait for 2020 to be over. I know a lot of you, I'm going to be partying like it's 1999 at the end of this year, because you just can't wait for 2020 to be over. So greetings, everybody, back and better than ever. This is the Ron Kelly Talk Radio program, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com, and on the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel, up and running finally as we speak. So I'm glad, so glad to be back, and extremely thankful to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for sparing me and all of you from the deadly coronavirus that has killed more than 200,000 people so far. And incidentally, it's taking out more than 1,000, almost 1,000 people a day. It varies between 800 and 900, but that's a lot of people. 1,000 people a day here in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world, so to speak. And there will be many more, unfortunately, so please don't drink the Kool-Aid, because you have survived thus far. Everybody should continue to wear masks and practice social distancing wherever possible, and to also practice good hygiene by washing your hands. Taking a shower will be welcome too. Washing your hands and practice social distancing whenever possible, and also use hand sanitizer. Okay, we've got a lot to talk about today, and you know, and I thought I'd been trumped out. Because Trump just continues to push the envelope. And I thought I would be trumped out by now. And I just was so trumped out in regards to the things that he has done, the incredible, crazy things he's done. But this latest thing about him not wanting to concede the election is just way out of bounds, even for him. So I knew he would try to pull off something like this. So I'm not really surprised that he would be thinking about it. But I have to say, I am surprised he was actually saying. Okay, now a little bit later on the program, we'll talk about what happened in the Breonna Taylor grand jury decision and a whole lot more, but right now we want to pay our respects. Here on the Ron Kelly Show, we want to pay our respects to the notorious RBG, who passed away last weekend, I think it was, from complications, and she had so many different cancers. She had pancreatic cancer, she had lung cancer, the list goes on and on. And she hung on as long as she could, until she passed away at the age of 87 years old. So we pay our respects to the family, pay our respects to RBG, the notorious RBG, as she was lovingly called. So she has passed on, and her passing couldn't have come at a worse time. I mean, you know, passing at all is bad, and the timing is always bad. But for her to pass, and I'm not blaming her, of course, but for her to pass away, shout out to Wayne McKnight, who's watching the program. Thank you, my brother. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was the Supreme Court Justice, she was appointed by President Bill Clinton at the time. She's been a Supreme Court Justice, Associate Justice, for the last 27 years. So she passed away last weekend, I believe it was, this past weekend. And we pay our respects to the notorious RBG, who was monumental in the fight for women's rights. And she fought for her life all the way down to the end. And so she passed away just a couple of months before, not even a couple of months, a little more than a month away from the election. And Trump is pushing the envelope, trying to get another Supreme Court justice, a Republican conservative Supreme Court justice appointed to the bench, because Trump has this crazy, crazy harebrained scheme to thwart the election and try to get himself reappointed. So, I mean, it's a crazy plan. I'll get into it a little bit more because I'm sure you guys want to hear about this. We'll get into it a little bit more. But once again, you know, the notorious RBG, we mourn her passing. And here's what happened. Here's what happened when Trump went to the, now Donald Trump went to the place where notorious RBG was being, was lying in repose at the Supreme Court building. So here's what happened once Trump got there. Now, I'm pretty sure, you know, he didn't like that. If he didn't hear it, they were saying once he got there, everybody roundly booed the president. And then they started chanting, vote him out, which we all hope that will happen in November. But because of the coronavirus, everyone will have to vote by mail. Me personally, I am going to the voting booth myself personally. It's right around the corner from my home where I live in Montclair, New Jersey, where the Ron Kelly Show airs from. So I'll be at the voting booth myself personally. I'm not mailing in nothing. I'm going to put my vote in, and everybody should have also put their votes in, because this is the most important election in all our lifetimes, probably in the history of the United States of America, 244 years in existence. And I'll get to that a little bit later on in the program, and also I'll get to Breonna Taylor result. But who was Katherine Johnston? And I said this a little earlier in the program, just a little tease for you folks out there who partake of the Ron Kelly Show every week. Who was Katherine Johnston? Now, Katherine Johnston was a 92-year-old woman, 92 years old, Katherine Johnston, born in 1914, 86, yeah, 92 years old, an elderly Atlanta, Georgia woman. Now, Katherine Johnston, Katherine Johnston was killed by Atlanta undercover police officers in 2006. Now, this is a case that parallels the Breonna Taylor case, but had a very different outcome. Now, Katherine Johnston died on November 21st, 2006, after a phalanx of undercover police officers crashed into her home in Northwest Atlanta on the 21st of November in 2006, where she had lived in this home for 17 years. Now, three officers had entered her home in what was later described as a botched drug raid. Now, the officers cut off burglar bars and broke down her door using a no-knock warrant. Police said Johnston fired at them, and they fired back in response. Now, Ms. Johnston did fire the police officers over their heads, and she fired one shot out the door over their heads, and they fired 39 shots at poor Miss Johnston, Miss Katherine Johnston. Five or six of the bullets hit her. Now, none of the officers were injured by her gunfire, but Johnston was killed by the officers. Police injuries were later attributed to friendly fire from each other's weapons. So these cops not only killed Katherine Johnston, but they shot each other in the unprofessional way they barged into her home. Now, one of the officers planted marijuana in Miss Johnston's house after the shooting. And later the investigations found out that the paperwork stating the drugs were present at Miss Johnston's home, which had been the basis for the raid, had been falsified. The officers later admitted to having lied when they submitted cocaine as evidence, claiming that they had bought it at Miss Johnston's house. Three of those officers were tried for manslaughter and other charges surrounding the falsification. Now, what they did was they got an informant to say that he had bought drugs from Miss Johnston's house, which was completely untrue. So what finally happened was officers Jason Smith, Greg Junior, and Arthur Tesler were all convicted of various crimes. One of them got 10 years, one of them got 6 years, and the other one got 4 years. Smith and Junior pled guilty to state charges of manslaughter. So what happened was they pleaded guilty to voluntary manslaughter, making false statements, and the officer Smith was pled guilty to perjury. And officer Smith admitted that he had planted bags of marijuana in Miss Johnson's house after the shooting. So officer Tesler was convicted of making false statements and acquitted of two other charges. He was sentenced to four and a half years in prison for lying to investigators. He also received 6 months probation. One officer got 10 years. The other officer got 6 years, and the other officer got 4 years. Now, this is parallel to what happened in the Breonna Taylor. Not exactly, but it's parallel to what happened with Miss Taylor, because Miss Taylor's boyfriend did take a shot at the police because he didn't know who was coming through the door, and the police shot back. So Katherine Johnston was a woman, was a 92-year-old woman who was killed by police 14 years ago in almost the same type of circumstances as Breonna Taylor. But in Miss Johnston's case, the three officers went to prison, one for 10 years, one for 6 years, one for 4 years, respectively. So shout out to everybody who's watching the Ron Kelly Show. I appreciate you all. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. It's September 24th, 2020. We're getting a little resurgence of the summer, which is feeling pretty good. But you all know that, you know, come October, it's going to get a little rough out there, as it has been doing for the last umpteen years that we've all been alive. So shout out to Rhonda Torres Eaton, who says she never heard of Miss Johnson's case. Yeah, I never heard of Miss Johnson's case either. Miss Johnson, this was 14 years ago, and I'm not sure how this got past me. Miss Katherine Johnson, a 92-year-old grandmother, great-grandmother, who was killed by the police. But in her case, she got the police officers who barged into her house were caught planting evidence on this poor woman, and they were sent to prison, convicted of voluntary, or they pled guilty to voluntary manslaughter and some other charges, acting under the color of authority, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, Katherine Johnston. And see, and there's probably a whole bunch of Katherine Johnstons that we don't really know about. There's a whole bunch of them, because I'm like shocked and amazed that I didn't know about Miss Katherine Johnston. Now, the Ron Kelly Show was in its infancy at that time, and at the time that this happened, I was doing mostly community radio, focusing on Patterson of all places, and I wasn't doing the national program that I do today. But yeah, Katherine Johnston, you can look it up, Katherine Johnston, if you want more information about that. Katherine Johnston, 92-year-old grandmother, was killed by Atlanta undercover police officers, and once they found out, at first they shot each other. This is unbelievable. They shot each other, and then they tried to plant evidence. They got an informant to lie and say that he had bought drugs from Miss Johnston, which he later on admitted that he did not do. It was a total lie. So, yeah, Katherine Johnston died November 21st of 2006, around about 14 years ago. On the 21st, it will be 14 years to this woman who was killed by undercover police and officers in her home, shot at 39 times, hit 5 or 6 times. And once again, the police officers tried to plant evidence on her, and it didn't work out too well because they got 10, 6, and 4 years, respectively. All right, everybody, the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel is up and running for your watching enjoyment. You could always go there and watch programming if you miss it. I know y'all don't like to miss me, so I'm pretty sure that you can go back there to the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. You can watch me. And also with the Ron Kelly Show archives, it's the Ron Kelly Show. No, that's not it. It's blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. blogtalkradio.com/OneRonKellyShow. Shout out to my people on Fat Ash. That's A-S-H, Fat Ash, the cigar smoking group that I am a part of. Shout out to my people. I don't know if any of them watching your program, but shout out to my people at Fat Ash, A-S-H, not Fat, A-S-S. All right. So welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. This is The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Just a little history there to let you guys know what was going on back then, 2006, with the killing of Katherine Johnston, which most people didn't even know about. And I know personally, I didn't know anything about that until I stole it from somebody on Facebook. I mean, yeah, I borrow stuff every now and again. Nobody's original. Shout out to Donnie Wilson, who's watching the program. Appreciate you, my brother. Yeah, so Katherine Johnston, you can look it up. Katherine Johnston killed under similar circumstances, a botched drug raid where the police in Atlanta, Georgia, were crashing to this woman's house. And when she had an old pistol that she shot with them, probably couldn't have killed anybody. She had an old pistol that she shot at the police officers over their heads, incidentally. And she knew what she was doing. And they returned 39 bullets to this woman and killed Miss Katherine Johnston. So, yeah, so a parallel situation, something that's similar to the Breonna Taylor killing that took place 6 months ago. Now, 6 months later, here we are with the verdict, the grand jury verdict in the Breonna Taylor case. And as many of us expected, you know, many of us expected the police officers to get off, and they did. Now, the weirdest thing about it, now, Officer Brett Hankinson, Detective Brett Hankinson, who was shout out to Linda Lombroso, who says nothing has changed. You're right, nothing has changed, and it has gotten a lot worse, except for the Minneapolis police officer who was convicted of killing the white woman. Let me just pull this up right quick because it just popped into my head. And I had the man's name. He was the Somali American police officer. Now, things may have changed somewhat, Linda Lombroso, but we had in a case that took place a little while back, the officer, his name was Mohammed Noor. He was a police officer. He was a Somali American police officer. You know, Minneapolis has a very large, I think Minneapolis has the largest concentration of Somali Americans in the United States of America. And Mohammed Noor was the very first Somali American officer in his Minneapolis police precinct. Now, Mr. Noor, the ex-police officer, was sentenced to 12 and a half years in a Minnesota prison for the death of Justine Rusick, an unarmed woman he killed while on patrol in 3 years ago. Now, Mohammed Noor's case is definitely a double standard. Mohammed Noor was a Somali American, so he was a black police officer, and he was convicted and he sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison. Now, it's very rare for a police officer to be charged in a fatal on-duty shooting. Mr. Noor was the first Minnesota officer in decades to be convicted in the case in the death of Ms. Rusick. Now, in this situation, she was unarmed, wearing pajamas, and holding nothing but a glittery cell phone. And Ms. Rusick, who was white and spent most of her life in Australia, called 911 twice on a summer night asking for help. When she encountered Mr. Noor in the alley behind her house, the officer fired a single fatal shot out of his cruiser window. Now, he was convicted by a jury in April of that year, 3 years ago, of third-degree murder, which carried a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison, and second-degree manslaughter, which could have led to as many as 10 years in prison. So, Officer Noor, or ex-Officer Noor, wound up with a 12 and a half year prison sentence for the killing of this white woman, Justine Rusick, in 2017. So, yeah, so some cops do go to prison, just not the white ones. Anyway, this is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. It's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. We'll take a quickie break. And when I come back, we got a whole lot to talk about, everybody. We just got mounds and mounds of stuff to talk about. So we'll take a quick break right quick, and we'll come right back with more of this program. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
And you know what? And we're back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show once again, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com. Oh boy, lots of stuff going on. You know, the Breonna Taylor, the reaction was mild last night in the town where Breonna Taylor was from. There wasn't a lot going on. I mean, you know, it wasn't like the George Floyd where they burned the whole town down. There was a lot less action going on there in Louisville, Kentucky. Now you see, the jig was up, so to speak, when they started battening down the hatches and boarding up everything. So when before they made the announcement, they knew that there were not going to be any charges against those police officers. They knew. So that's why they boarded up the whole town. They put out these enormous brick barricades, and they shut off the whole downtown area because they knew the fix was in, and they knew that the Breonna Taylor killers would get off scot-free. They knew. So this is why they started battening down the hatches yesterday. Because they knew that Breonna Taylor's killers would walk free. They knew. So for me personally, when I saw that on the news, that they started boarding up everything and putting these enormous concrete barriers out, and they shut off the whole downtown, and there was a large presence of police officers, state police, and you know, anybody they can find who was a police officer was out there. So I knew right away. So it didn't come as no surprise when the Trump supporter, Attorney General David Cameron, I believe his name was, came out and said that there wouldn't be any charges. Now, Officer Brett Hankerson, who was the only person who was convicted of these misdemeanor charges, is what it kind of adds up to. Now, Officer Brett Hankerson, when he was fired, the police chief at the time, the police chief of the Louisville Metro Police Department, fired Brett Hankerson because he shot Breonna Taylor. So in the termination letter that Officer Brett Hankerson received from the chief at the time of the Louisville Police Department, he was fired because he shot Breonna Taylor. That's established. It's the paperwork's been filed. He was fired because he shot. I can't do this. Officer, and I'm not making light of this, but Officer Brett Hankerson. Now get this. Officer Brett Hankerson was fired from the Louisville Metro Police Department because he shot Breonna Taylor. Fast forward to yesterday, with the announcement by the Attorney General for the state of Kentucky, who is a Trump, so who is a black Republican, which I just, the two words just don't seem to go together, was a black Republican and who was a Trump supporter. As a matter of fact, this Attorney General spoke at the Republican National Convention in 2016. So being the Attorney General of the state of Kentucky must have been his reward. I don't believe he was the Attorney General for the state of Kentucky at that time. But he came out and he said that what eventually happened was Officer Brett Hankinson, who was fired from the Louisville Metro Police Department for killing Breonna Taylor, was charged, at the end of the day, was charged with shooting in somebody else's apartment. So he wasn't charged for the bullets that hit Breonna Taylor. He was charged for bullets that missed and went into somebody else's apartment. A white family who were home at the time, and they had a five-year-old child in the house, a husband and wife who had a five-year-old child in the house. So what happened was that Officer Brett Hankinson was charged with recklessness, basically. He was charged with recklessness not for what he did in Breonna Taylor's house, but for the errant bullets that he shot into somebody else's apartment. And it's just, you know, just unbelievable. So the push is on now for this grand jury transcripts to be released. Now, the grand jury, shout out to Linda Lombroso, who says, I'm not sure what that is Patricia Wilder put there, but shout out to Linda Lombroso, who's calling Mr. The Attorney General for the David Cameron a coon. South London and Bronson Wilson said they called it wanton. Wanton recklessness or something like that. It was a slap on the wrist charge. Now, he's fired. He's not going to work there. And he may not work anywhere else because he has been charged. Usually when the police officers are fired, they're able to get a job in Jerkwater, USA. It's a term I like to use. So Officer Brett Hankinson was charged with wanton recklessness. I'm not 100% sure what the exact terminology is, but he was not charged for killing Breonna Taylor. He was charged with shooting into somebody else's house because the people who lived in the house next door filed a lawsuit against the Louisville Metro Police Department, and I guess they're going to get paid too, you know. So this is what it is. But we can't let this stuff get to us. You know what I'm saying? Because I know it will be easy right now to just say, oh, you know what? We're never going to get victory. We're never going to get justice. Black folks will continue to get killed, and police officers will continue to be let off. Okay, now let me make myself abundantly clear here. It's a half past the hour of 7 o'clock. Let me make myself abundantly clear here. I am not for defunding the police. And some of you may disagree with me. If you do, feel free to hit me on Facebook Live, whatever the case may be. The Ron Kelly Show, YouTube channel, wherever. Now, I'm not for defunding the police or but what I am for is retooling the police. I'm for restructuring the police. There was a story in California of an 11-year-old kid, an 11-year-old autistic kid, shot by the police. 11-year-old kid shot by the police. 11-year-old autism. 11-year-old kid with autism was shot by police. I mean, just unbelievable that an 11-year-old kid was shot by police. And this happened. Let me pull it up here. This happened. Utah police. shot a kid, a 13-year-old kid with Alzheimer's, with autism. A 13-year-old kid shot by the police. A 13-year-old Utah boy with autism shot by the police after his mother asked for help getting him hospital mental health treatment. See, the thing, now, don't call the police. See, just don't. You got issues with your people. You got somebody who's a little out there. Don't call the police. Don't call the police. The person will wind up dead. The same thing happened with Daniel Prude in Rochester, New York, who, 41-year-old, who had some mental health episodes. He was killed by the police. See, so just don't call the police. And there's case after case after case after case of people who were desperate and who called the police to get help for their loved one who had some mental health issues, and the person wound up being killed by the police. So just don't call the police. Don't call the police. If your people's got some issues with their mental health, don't call the police. Now, I'm not for defunding the police, et cetera, et cetera, but I am for retooling the police. I am for repurposing the police. The police should only go as backup. And if someone's having a mental health episode, then a mental health professional should be the point person who should go there and try to talk this person down before the police are called. But see, but the thing with the police officers is it's always shoot first and ask questions later. Now, the two police officers in Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department police officers, two of them were shot. I haven't heard anything about their condition since this happened about a week and a half ago. Now, I don't agree that people should just go out and start killing police. I don't necessarily agree with that because all police are not bad, but there's a lot of them who are. It's far more than a couple of bad apples that Trump was saying. Half of the barrel, half of the bushel of apples is bad, not just a couple of bad apples, as Trump has said. But, yeah, so this is what happens. You know, don't call the police when somebody in your family is having a mental health episode. Don't call the police because your family member may wind up dead. But a 13-year-old kid, now they released a video. Now the video shows Salt Lake City cops chasing him down an alley, and after they arrive at his home, then yelling at him to get on the ground. You know, the boy collapses after a series of shots ring out, saying, "I don't feel good, I don't feel good." He did survive, but suffered broken bones and pierced organs. Now, this is a 13-year-old kid, a 13-year-old kid who was not armed, who had autism, and he was shot by the police. Thank God that the kid didn't get killed. You know, see, I know police officers, and I know high-ranking police officers, sheriffs and captains and deputy chiefs. I know a lot of them, and I know they might be feeling some kind of way about some of the things I'll be saying. But, like, look, hell with that friendship. You know what I mean? If you're a police officer and you know me and you can't keep it together, or you're going to get pissed with me because of some of the things I say on my radio show, then by all means, go ahead and get pissed, because I'm not going – because I've done that. I've done that. You know, I've curbed – my enthusiasm about talking about certain things, because I know some high-ranking police officers, chiefs and sheriffs and police directors. I know quite a few of them. But, hey, look, if you want to be pissed off at me because I'm telling the truth, then just be pissed off with me. That's a friendship that I can afford to lose. Shout out to Patricia Wilder, who says, this is very true. If you're a person of color calling the police, you're at risk of you're more at risk of being killed simply because of the color of your skin. Absolutely. And this, Linda Lombroso says, this administration is giving a pass to cops to cross the line. It's going to take a lot to clean up this America. She uses the two K's, like America, like this is America behavior and change. And the Trump, and it's definitely because of the Trumpism. Yeah, so a 13-year-old Utah kid with autism was shot by the police. It's, thank God the kid did not. You know, thank God the kid did not die. The officer said they would have to proceed as though the boy did have access to a rear. I mean, it's just unbelievable, unbelievable. And I'm going to get to that. And I'm going to talk about the Trump supporters and the people who just don't give a damn. And I'm going to talk about why these people feel the way they do about Donald Trump and why Donald Trump can shoot one of their own family members and they'll be okay with it. So I'll get to that. I got a couple other things I want to talk about. It's Thursday night football, immediately following the Ron Kelly show. I may be watching. I don't know. It's, you know, it's two teams that I'm not really that. I think it's Miami and somebody. Shout out to the Cowboy fans. They pulled it off. Anyway, it's 23 minutes before the end of this program. So what I'll do is I'll take another quick break and I'll come back. And I'll talk about what drives Trump supporters. Because we think, like, why are these people like this? And why are they so are so in love with Trump no matter what he does? So we'll talk about that. And I got a couple of things you want to talk about. If something you want to mention, go ahead and speak on it. The number to the radio station is 646. For the folks who are listening on the radio, it's 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Once again, 646. And I know I get lots of emails saying I never give out the phone number. But here it is for the folks that are pissed off at me, 646-668-2838. But if you don't want to call in, you can make your comment known on Facebook Live, or you can hit me up on the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel, and you can – there's a live chat there. And they're telling me my connection is unstable. Okay. So I think I know what that's about because the Ron Kelly Show keeps it 100 and I don't take no prisoners. Anyway, we take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this show. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com. Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Alrighty then, and do not get it twisted. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Shakima D. Ford. I don't want to admit it, but I knew Shakima D. Ford when she was a little girl. She's like in her late 30s now. So, but I was very young at that time, too, so don't get it twisted. I don't even think I was, well, anyway, I was a teenager at that time that I knew Shakima D. Ford when she was a little girl playing in the dirt on Storms Avenue. She's grown up to be a very beautiful woman with two good kids. She's married. And she runs a business. I think it's Shakima D. Ford Enterprises. Now, if you got issues with your credit, and even if you know Shakima, don't be embarrassed. She's not going to put your credit report, your horrible credit report on Facebook. Shout out to Shakima D. Ford. And she can help you get your credit up. Don't you want that house? Don't you want that car? Don't you want that, you know, that airplane, whatever it is that you want? Hook up with Shakima D. Ford. She's on Facebook Live. Shakima D. Ford. I know we got issues with you. Trust me. Hit Shakima D. Ford up and she will help you. I promise. SDF Enterprises, I believe it is. Just hit her up. If you need help with your credit report to remove bad things. This stuff on credit reports, I was like, when I saw mine, I was like, this is ridiculous. There was stuff on there that I'd already paid off. And it was still sitting there. Which was holding my score down. So definitely, once again, Shakima D. Ford, get with her on Facebook. And she will definitely, I promise you, she will help you for a reasonable fee. Nothing is free, peoples. Nothing is free. All right, everybody. And also, shout out to my boy, Albert Vega. Albert Vega, who spins the wheels every, I didn't see him tonight, but Albert Vega, who spins the wheels every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on dwopmusicradio.com. Get at him. Get with him. I do every Wednesday night. It's Albert Vega spinning the wheels every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on dwildmusicradio.com. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much. It's 646-668-2838. That's 646. I might have missed two phone calls already. Six, because I was looking at another screen. Because I have like two computers in front of me, and I got to watch both of them. 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. You got about 18 and a half minutes to call into the Ron Kelly show. Yet I did miss a couple of phone calls. I apologize for that. I apologize for that. But thank God we're still all here, right? You know, the coronavirus is not just killing people left and right. 800 to 1,000 people a day are dying from the coronavirus. So thank you. If you're still here and you're healthy, thank God for that. And so do I. And this is a good time for me. Everybody's got to have an outlet. And the Ron Kelly Show is definitely my outlet where I get a chance to do something that I really love doing, which is getting on the radio and getting on everybody's nerves. So it's every Thursday night, 7 p.m., it's the Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com. And also on a program note on Fridays at 7 p.m., on 7 p.m. starting October 2nd, the Ron Kelly Show will air from WWPR 1490 a.m. in Tampa Bay, Bradenton, Florida area. That's WWPR 1490 a.m. It's the number one talk radio station in Tampa Bay, Florida. All right, this is the Ron Kelly Show. Welcome. What's your beef? Hello?
Hi, this is Rhonda.
How are you?
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I am from Somerville, New Jersey. And I wanted to know, how important is the census to fill out? I just can't figure out if I should fill it out. I don't know how important it is. I don't know what it's for. And I'm just struggling with it. I have not filled it out, and I know the deadline is coming up. What is it all about, and is it important, and is it necessary?
Well, thank you. I'll answer your question off the – okay. All right. You know, something I didn't really talk about was the census. And the census is very important, everybody, because the purpose of the census is to know how many people are living in a – first of all, how many people are living in the United States of America and how many people are living in a certain area, because – the more people in the area, the more federal funds allegedly are allotted for those areas. So everybody, it's very important for, just like it's very important for us to vote this year to get this nutcase out of office, it's very important.
Okay.
It's very important that we fill out the census. I live by myself. I filled it out, you know, did my due diligence and I filled it out. And I think it's very important for everybody to, fill out your census to make sure that you.
Then I'll fill it out.
Yeah, you should. You should fill it out, because it's very important that everybody fills it out, because this way we know how many people are living in the area where they would get more money. Like, say, in the middle of South Dakota, nobody lives there, so they're not going to get a whole lot of money. But in the state of New Jersey, where we have 7.5 million people crammed in to this little bit of space, it's important that we get as much federal funds as possible for healthcare,
right,
for transportation, for, you know, there's a lot of things that those federal funds are accumulated for. So yes, I would say it's very important. Your duty and fill out your census. Thanks for the call. Okay, everybody.
Fill it out. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, everybody. It's just about 14 minutes before the hour. Patricia Wilder, 10 questions only done every 10 years. And see, the issue with the census is that it's done every 10 years. And, you know, there's definitely a population shift after 10 years. Shout out to Lamar Gates, who says another important reason for the census is for future relatives to learn the history of when you walk this earth. I found great grandparents. Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Maybe I should do that. I need to find some of my family members. It's a long story. But anyway, 14 minutes before the hour. So, yes, very important. Thank you, Rhonda, for calling into the program and asking about the census. The census is very important. And the voting this year is very important. So, you know, so you wonder, let me start with this. So you wonder why everybody loves, I mean, some of these people love Donald Trump so much. You see, back in the 50s and 60s, it was fashionable. 40s, 50s, 60s, it wasn't frowned upon to be openly racist. back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. It was right to slap a black person across the head. It was okay to beat up a black person. It was okay to not serve a black person. Back in the day, it was fashionable almost. You know, 100 years ago, they would gather in the town square and everybody would bring their picnic baskets, white folks. Not all white folks. Shout out to the white folks I'm friendly with. And back in the day, they would gather in the town square. This was the event of the week. They would gather in the town square and they would find some random Negro who they would hang in the town square. Hang. And that was must-see TV at the time. I mean, there was no television, but you'd get my drift. And white folks would hang a black person in the town square. They would, you know, castrate the poor brother, set him on fire, hang him, you know. And it was fashionable back then. I mean, nobody had a problem with black folks being openly murdered and beat to death by racist white folks. So as time went on, now these folks didn't go anywhere now. They just kind of went underground. But they didn't go anywhere because as time progressed, you know, it became, and after the advent of the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, it was no longer fashionable to kill a white, to kill a black person, just indiscriminately, like they did back in the day. So these folks didn't go anywhere. You think that, oh, things got better. No, they didn't get better. The folks just, they just hid their racism because it was no longer fashionable for, it was no longer fashionable to be openly racist. So these folks didn't go anywhere. The folks, the families that were racist in the 50s are racist today. That didn't change. They just went underground. But when Donald Trump came along, Donald Trump was the messiah for the racist element of the United States of America. And there's a lot of racist people in this country, trust and believe. But they're not out, you know, they're kind of in the closet. You know, white folks were in the closet, white racist folks were in the closet before Donald Trump came along. Let me just take a quick look at this thing. Okay, shout out to Patricia Wilder says, filling out the census is vitally important based on the population count. You may have dollars from exactly what I said to Rhonda Eaton just a few minutes ago, who called to the program from New Jersey. Yes, absolutely. Patricia Wilder, 2020. Yeah, 2020 census, not 2020 census.gov is the 2020 census.gov is a website. If you haven't received a ballot. My mind is stuck on a vote on the election. If you haven't received anything, you can go on to my census, my 2020 census.gov. Thank you, Patricia Wilder, for that. Yeah, and the census is done only every 10 years. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says another important reason for the census is future relatives. I read that. Patricia Wilder says to vote, everybody should vote. Linda Lombroso says this is the fashionable administration. I'm so done. Yeah. See, so let me get back to that. So it's about the 10 minutes before the hour. So it was fashionable that day. But see, but those people went underground. They didn't go anywhere. There's a very large racist element living in the United States right now today. They just are not seeing it. They were in a closet. But when Donald Trump came along, Donald Trump freed the racists. Donald Trump free the racist. And I'm not saying that all white people are racist. I see white people all the time who are very nice, very cordial. I'll tell you about a white couple that I met. I'll get to that. I'll try to squeeze that in the last 9 minutes of this program. So when Donald Trump came along, Donald Trump empowered the white racist element of the United States of America. Because a lot of these people are not even Republicans. A lot of these people are not even conservatives. They're just racists. So if the Democrats if Donald Trump was a Democrat, there'd be a Democratic element of racism in this country. So these people were freed when Donald Trump came along. Donald Trump is a messiah to the racist element of the United States of America. And there's a lot of people a lot of racists, people you work with, people you walk past, people will just as soon shoot you in the face. You might run across it to 7-Eleven or to Quick Check or whatever the case may be. So when Donald Trump came along, these people were freed. They worship Donald Trump because Donald Trump has given them freedom. Donald Trump has given these people freedom to be racist. So he's almost like the racist god of the racist element of the United States of America. And this is why these people don't give a damn what Donald Trump does. All the stuff that came out with the grabbing the coochie and the paying Stormy Daniels and the books that are written by Michael Cohen and his own niece blacked out on him, you know, in her book. And it goes on and 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 on. Obstruction of justice, all the things that Donald Trump has done. And these people, they don't care because their love for Donald Trump is driven by their racism. So it's not even really about Donald Trump. It's the racism that drives these people. Donald Trump is like, you know how some of us, we pray to God, we go to church, and we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are angry, racist people in the United States of America who worship Donald Trump just the same way Christians worship God. So if you ever wonder why all the things that Donald Trump does and people just shove it under the rug or brush it off or try to explain it, it's not about Donald Trump. It's about what he represents. And Donald Trump represents racism. Donald Trump, that's why you see the story of the woman who threw the water bottle at the lady who was jogging in minding her own business. The Karens. Where do you think these Karens came from? There was no Karens before Donald Trump. There were no Karens. Now you got the Karens. They even got a Karen mask for Halloween. They even got a Karen mask for Halloween. You can buy this mask. She's got jacked up teeth and got pimples all over her face. The Karen. The Karen is a white woman who confronts black people for no particular reason. And these people are emboldened and empowered by Donald Trump. So it's not even about Trump. It's about what he represents. Shout out to Patricia Wilder, who says, this is about racism. If you have a group of people who actually believe they are better than another group of people simply because of the color of their skin. Exactly. Rhonda Torres Eaton says, the man is despicable, but it's his supporters that stun him. But this is what it is. They support his racism. They don't necessarily support him as a person, as a man. They support his racism. And look at poor Michelle Obama. They're still talking about Michelle Obama 4 years after they left office, calling her Michael instead of Michelle. Well, Michelle Obama's a woman, and they're holding up Melania Trump, who was a nude model who took pictures with lesbians. Not that I got anything against lesbians, but I see more of Melania Trump's body than Donald Trump has, you know. But they hold her up as a great woman of substance when Michelle Obama graduated from Princeton. Barack Obama graduated from Harvard, two of the best schools in the world, not just in the United States of America, but they hold up Melania Trump as some kind of icon, and they trash Michelle Obama, who went to school, who's one of the best lawyers in the country, who graduated from Princeton, of all places. So it's driven by racism. So if you ever wonder why Donald Trump supporters support him so much, it's not about him. It's not about him. Donald Trump freed the slaves, so to speak. He freed the racists to be exactly who they are. So that's why you see these Karens and these people who are police officers who are empowered, who are emboldened by Donald Trump to do the things that they do, like killing black folks for no particular reason. So Trump represents racism. See, this is why it's so very important. I know some of y'all have said, Rhonda Torres Eaton says, Donald Trump is just one person. He's fueled by men. But see, he's the president of the United States of America. David Duke didn't get this kind of stuff. George Wallace, the racist governor of Georgia back in the day, didn't get this kind of notoriety. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. So you got the president of the United States, leader of the free world, who is a racist. And I know that that Facebook is going to kill this show. They're going to let it air, but they're going to, you know, with Facebook, I believe, is limiting my reach when I go on the air live. But when I'm with like this, you know, because there's only like a handful of people that I see on Facebook Live. But then, like the show for last week, there's more than 1,700 people watch that show. But I don't see those numbers until I go off the air. Then I see those numbers later on. 1,700 people, 1,400 people, 2,000 people in some cases who watch the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook Live only. That's not talking about the radio people, which is thousands who watch, who listen every week all across the United States of America. But Donald Trump is a dyed-in-the-wool racist, and who better to be, you know, he's the head racist in charge. He's the head racist in charge. So this is why these folks hold Donald Trump in such high regard, because they know that he's a racist. He said nothing about Breonna Taylor. He said nothing about George Floyd. He said nothing about Jacob Blake. He said nothing about Sandra Bland. He said just on and on and on and on. He says nothing. And he applauded the Kentucky Attorney General for He applauded the Kentucky Attorney General for his actions in the Breonna Taylor case. Now, there is a move on to get the grand jury transcripts released from the Breonna Taylor investigation. Now, grand jury is secret, so we're never going to know who was on that grand jury. We're never going to know who the makeup of that grand jury was. Anything to have left of the program, everybody. Patricia Wallace says they've been taught to hate and fear black people and are raising their children to hate. Exactly. So those people who hated black people in the 50s, now their kids and their grandkids hate black people today. Victor McLean says 45 is a Victor McLean, my brother, my church brother. You know, Lamont Gates says nothing about Herman Cain. Herman Cain, who died of the coronavirus, who attended a Trump rally. Herman Cain, who died. Now there's another Republican governor and his wife who had the coronavirus. We'll get to that. I'll get to that next week on the program. I got about 52 seconds left to the show. Victor McLean says, Patricia Wilde says he applauded the 17-year-old who shot the people in Minneapolis. Also, Victor McLean says he defended the 17-year-old who killed two people in Cobra. Yes, he did. All right, everybody, 34 seconds left of the program. I want to thank you all. Thank you all. We don't say this enough in this business. Thank you all across the United States of America on Facebook Live and YouTube channel, everywhere else I can be seen. Thank you so much for joining me this evening for another edition of The Ron Kelly Show, September 24th, 2020. So I'm about to be out of here. So everybody, be well. Remember that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. And I think I'm out of here. Patricia Wallace says ignorance is unbelievable. Linda Labrazo says thank you. Rhonda Torres Eaton, thank you. Victor McLean, all the folks who... everybody stay safe. All right, so we'll see you back here next week for another edition of The Ron Kelly Show. I'm off Blog Talk Radio, but I'm still on YouTube channel. So everybody, do have a great week. Take care of yourself. Wash your hands. Do what you need to do. And through the grace of God, we'll see you back here next week for another edition of The Ron Kelly Show. So until then, I think I'm done.